To which agenda item? 17?
17.
Okay. Mr. Briggs.
17 is the concerns the Avila Settlement Fund. This was a rather momentous settlement we had with UNICAL regarding the Avila Beach Petroleum spill and cleanup, which goes back 9 years ago. And we have two projects from that original settlement which didn't pan out for two different reasons. And so we're coming before you today to redirect those funds to two other projects, and Howard Kolbe of our staff will present that for you.
Good afternoon, Chairman, members of the board. Welcome back, Roger. I'd like to just start off with you guys set the stage for my item. You've already talked about leveraging funds. You've talked about maintaining projects. You've talked about low-impact development. You've talked about cooperation among agencies. What you're about to see here is kind of the embodiment of all that. You've also talked about SEPs. This is a settlement fund project. What I'm proposing today is to bring all of these projects before you to kind of wrap it up, and hopefully you won't hear about this again except how we use it in the future. I have two points today, a project update and expenditure of the remaining funds. We're talking about the Avila Beach Water Quality Trust, and I'm going to refer to it as the trust for the remainder of the discussion. In 98, $1 million was put into the trust. Of that million, $100,000 was directed towards monitoring the C-CAMP program, and the other $900,000 was designated for a series of projects. Those projects are were categorized or selected based on the criteria that are found in your attachment one, and then a list of the projects funded is in attachment two. 11 projects were funded. As of this point in time, 7 are completed. 2 have not been implemented, and we'll discuss that today. 2 have been implemented, and they're conducting some ongoing monitoring and maintenance. Here are the locations of the projects. You can see a big cluster of them down here in the Avila Bay area, and then we have a few up in the upper watershed. And then we will be talking about this part for, or excuse me, up in here for one of the acquisitions, easement. And then the other project which we'll be talking about is in the Avila Bay, and it also rolls over up here to the Morro Bay area. These are two of the monitoring sites the C-CAMP looked at. This is the Santa Maria River estuary. And this is just offshore where they looked at the otters. And I just want to go back to this real quickly for frame of reference. This is the town of Avila is right down in here. San Luis Obispo, where we are, is up in this area of the city. You can see it sort of marked out there. I'm going to talk in the project update about three specific projects: the South San Luis Obispo Creek property, the Mare Dam, and the Cal Poly Continuous Monitoring Program. Here's the Cal Poly project. Here is the South San Luis Obispo Creek, and here's Mare Dam. I'm also able to answer questions on the other projects. The projects in total covered things like oil and grease filters, improved wastewater treatment, reduction of metals, improved fish passage, improved habitat, and monitoring. This is the first one I'd like to talk about. This is, again, the town of Avila is right here. This is at a pier right off Avila, and the continuous monitoring station was established right there. It's project number 8 in your handout, and in the staff report it's project E. It's titled Continuous Real-Time Monitoring. The board had asked during when it was presented and over the last time it was amended if we had seen anything in relationship to the toxic phytoplankton blooms. Has anything been determined? I had some discussions with Dr. Mark Moline of Cal Poly, and he provided this graphic. I want to break it down into three basic sections. What did we get? Well, for the money, we got an installation of a continuous monitoring. They set up a series of probes. It collects seawater data, and it's that information can be viewed online. That website is in your staff report. What did we do with it? Well, the probes continue to collect information, and it's generated some interesting information that they have used to generate some additional studies. But what's curious about these photos, this is a photo from an aerial photo, and you can see that's normal coloring. On this side, they did some spectral imaging, and you can see right here, this is red tide forming. And Dr. Moline's hypothesis at this time is that the freshwater inflows are bringing organics and additional nutrients into the bay, that there is an eddying type effect that occurs up in here that's increasing residence time in the back bay, and that is leading and allowing these algal blooms to occur. They are currently testing this hypothesis with information they're collecting in Morro Bay, and they're beginning to look up in Cayucos. The curious thing about this, or one of the interesting things about this algal bloom, is that one of the types of organisms that grow is one called Pseudonychia, and it's the one responsible for the domoic acid, which is leading to deaths in sea otters. The Central Coast Ambient Monitoring Program, one of their studies was looking at sea otters. The they're in the process of preparing a paper that's documenting what's going on. All the data that they have collected up to this point with respect to the sea otters, they're looking at in terms of the relation to freshwater flows. And the big question that they're asking as well is, are anthropogenic sources contributing to the algal blooms, and what's the relationship? So we have a lot of things going on in that same arena.
Is the monitor, Howard, looking at nutrient levels?
It is not. They don't have a nutrient probe, so they're doing some additional monitoring outside of the probes that they established there. I was talking with John Robertson the other day, and they wanted to include that in the original study, but funding prevented us from allowing them to include that probe. This next slide, I asked Brian Stark, he's the director of the Land Conservancy of San Luis Obispo County, to provide. It's a list of the projects that they're implementing in the San Luis Obispo Creek watershed, and this goes back to the leveraging issue. The projects funded by the Regional Water Quality Control Board are in the dark blue. You can see them up here. And you can see, as a result of our efforts, in conjunction, the Land Conservancy has been able to turn to other agencies and generate additional funding to do additional projects. So when we put a small amount of money into a project, it sometimes creates more. And a classic example is with this Avila money, with the $700,000 that's been spent to date, we've leveraged an additional $3 million in in-kind contributions, whether it's dollars or tractors or people time, to help implement these projects. The second project that I'd like to go over real quickly is this South San Luis Obispo Creek habitat restoration. That's project number 7 on the sheet in your attachment, and it's project number D in your staff report. And the board has actually visited this site in an off-site meeting. What did we get? We got some repaired or restored riparian corridor, some improved habitat. We had an enlarged floodplain, and they established some seasonal wetlands. I want to point out that this project, although coming before we've established our new vision, does help us move towards that 80% of aquatic habitat is healthy and 20% is exhibiting positive trends. This is what it looked like when they were doing the project. You can see this is some plantings, and then this is what it looks like now. What did we do with this project? This project continues to function. Can we detect any changes in water quality, beneficial uses, or habitat? There's visual evidence of changes in habitat with the growth of plants. And the Land Conservancy has conducted some additional studies in the areas that they've actually planted. They see a coverage of 80% of native species. In terms of wetlands, they've established approximately 3.5 acres of new wetlands, and that's based on plant type and plant communities that they've evaluated. And when they started the project in approximately 2000, there were 15 different bird species using the area, and in a survey they did in 2005, there's now over 91 species using the area. Again, back to the slide, Avila, here San Luis, you just looked at this project. We're now looking at this Mare Dam project. This project's very near and dear to my heart. When I first started with the board back in 89, the first project that I had was a riparian corridor restoration on Lower San Luis Obispo Creek on the golf course. And during that time, during discussions, we identified this dam as an impediment to fish passage. Over on this side, there is a fish ladder, but it's never functioned very well. And through 15 years of dialogue and discussion, we finally got the property owner and the to agree to notch this reservoir or this dam and allow for improved fish passage. Ongoing monitoring that's continuing. The Land Conservancy has been out there during high tide events to monitor, or extreme high tide events, to monitor the salinity upstream and downstream of the dam and to see if there's any transport through that fish ladder or fish passage. They have found that during extreme high tides there is a small amount of salt water that can get through that, but they don't believe that it's going to impact water quality upstream in terms of, this is where San Miguelito Water District, this is part of their water source. And again, that's project number 9 on your handout attachment, and then it's project F in your write-up. Yes, ma'am.
How upstream is that dam?
From the golf. Are you familiar with the golf course?
You got the map.
Oh. If you drive to Avila, when you get off the freeway right about here and you're driving on the frontage road, it takes a very sharp curve, and right at that sharp curve you can see the beginning of the golf course. So that's right where the dam is. It's just about 150 yards upstream from the from the beginning of the golf course.
And then how far from the confluence or the mouth
San Luis Obispo Creek with the ocean?
Right.
The distance is probably about, as the creek flows, about half mile.
Okay.
I mentioned two projects were not funded. Project number 1 on your attachment, which was the Leucadia Ranch, and then project number 6 on your attachment, which was the Metzen Marine oil spill contract. The Nature Conservancy was the lead on the Leucadia Ranch, and due to various reasons, including lease purchase price, conditions of the proposed lease, the Leucadia Ranch project did not come to fruition. Active negotiations on that project were terminated in 2003, and if there are specifics regarding Leucadia Ranch, the TNC, or the Andre Park project that we're going to discuss, Michael Bell from TNC is here if I am unable to answer the questions to your satisfaction. The Nature Conservancy continued discussions with various property owners in the Irish Hills attempting to find another property, and they were able to identify the Andre property, which are these three parcels, this one, this one, and this one. The yellow areas, these two smaller ones, are going to be are proposed to be acquired in fee. And so they're going to purchase those property. The orange property is going to be put into a conservation easement. The conservation easement is going to be held by the Nature Conservancy to begin with, and that it may be transferred to the Land Conservancy at some point in time. They haven't worked that out in detail. The
question on that?
Yeah, yes.
Sometimes the the properties with easements on them. No, actually, you're saying that it wouldn't be transferred before it got the easement, obviously.
No, the easement will be held by the Nature Conservancy or the
so
land.
So all that would be transferred would be the easement holder.
Yes.
Not the okay. Thanks.
Yes. The Andre property is in the Irish Hills. It's the headwaters for Coon Creek, Davis Creek, and I'll move to this next slide because it shows it a little better. But it's the headwaters for creeks here and up in here. Davis Creek, Coon Creek, Sea Canyon Creek, and Diablo Canyon Creek. These are all up in that area. It's a very well-preserved property, the conservation easement. They do have some cattle activity, and I believe that will continue to happen, but there is some riparian exclusion fencing that they've been discussing. There is also approximately 21 home sites that the easement will acquire that will be taken out of the possibility to be developed. There will still be two sites that currently have, one has a house, one has a trailer, that they could develop or rebuild in place. The Department of Fish and Game has signed a letter of intent. They had designated $1 million of funding for the Leucadia Ranch, and they have transferred their funding to this project. And our funding for this project represents about 4% of the total purchase price, so we're leveraging a lot of money in this particular project. The fee acquired properties will be transferred, the idea is to be transferred to the state park system. The fee-acquired properties, there are some existing roads that the Park Service would like to use for a trail system, so there's no intention to develop a new trail system, but they're just going to use existing roads. And I'm not aware of any new trail system proposed for construction. So that's the shifting $250,000 from Leucadia to the Andre property. The other one is the oil spill response project. The original project was set to be implemented by a group called Metzen Marine. For a variety of reasons, they were unable to enter into a contract with the Department of Fish and Game. We had been waiting for Fish and Game to write that contract, and they were having difficulty identifying a new contractor. I began negotiations with them about a year and a half ago. They identified a new contractor in August of last year, and they've entered into a contract that's going to run through July 31st of this year. The intent is if we transfer our $50,000 to this new contractor, which would be Blue Water Associates, that the whole contract would be implemented and completed by the end of July this summer. So there, the intent is for our money to be used for the purchase of reusable oil spill response equipment, like a cleanable boom, so that they could do first response. I understand that Morro Bay Harbor District has already purchased some equipment, so this equipment would more than likely be stationed in exclusively in the Avila Bay area. But the planning that Blue Water is currently doing covers spill response in both Avila and Morro Bay. I would like to recommend that the board approve the reassignment of the $250,000 from Leucadia Ranch to support the purchase of a conservation easement on the Andre Ranch property, and that the board fund a new agreement with Blue Water to purchase equipment and expand the area covered to include Morro Bay, Port San Luis, and Avila Bay. Before you do that, I would also like to point out that doing these last two contracts will facilitate the closure of the entire fund. There will be about $15,000 to $25,000, I estimate, that's going to be residual based on interest. And I would like to ask the board to give us the leeway to put that into a contract with the Nature Conservancy or Land Conservancy to do maintenance on the easement for Andre, because I know that's a critical component, and we had already discussed it with the Nature Conservancy and Land Conservancy. So if the board's amenable to that, that would be an additional action.
Any board questions? Dr. Press.
No, I just want to support your thinking. That my next question was going to be about maintenance and stewardship and management and so on. So I'm happy to see it's not much money, but it's still better than nothing. And it would be nice to, I mean, TNC does a good job of monitoring its easements. I don't know how the Land Conservancy does, how active an easement monitor it is, and whether it's going to be involved in that part of it or not. But
if they take over the Andre, they will monitor it.
Yeah. So it would just be nice to make sure that if somebody gets $20,000 to do some monitoring, that they spend it wisely and they go look for extra matching funds, leverage it.
Absolutely. We met with TNC and the Land Conservancy earlier this week, and one of the ideas is to create this maintenance fund as a seed for them to procure other funds and add to it for a long-term maintenance program.
I wish the same could be said about state parks, because state parks will add this to their portfolio and turn around and tell us that they don't have enough staff or money to do anything on it. I'm afraid that's just a little sarcastic but true comment, I think.
Well, no, we've actually had the same discussions, and we're trying to figure out some creative ways to support that as well. It's on our radar screen.
Great. Well, I think these are great projects and a great use of the funds, so I would support them.
Yes. I'll move approval of the staff's recommendation, and any residual funds go to maintenance of that project.
Okay. We have a second?
Second.
Okay. And how long would the residual funds last towards going to maintain the easement?
Well, what you mean, how long last in terms of under our supervision, or how long do we think they will?
What, $20,000 or $30,000?
Yeah, I would propose that we put it into an account, and that would go to the Land Conservancy or the Nature Conservancy, and they'd report back.
But how long will they agree to maintain the easement for that money?
Good afternoon. My name is Michael Bell, and I'm the project director for the Nature Conservancy here in San Luis Obispo County. To answer your question, it's not a lot of money, and the monitoring and management and potentially enhancement projects like creek exclusion, fencing, things like that, would be expensive and go on forever. The easement is in perpetuity. The idea would be to leverage this money, use this money as seed money, leverage it against more private donations to create a larger stewardship fund, potentially an endowment that would spin off some income on a yearly basis and could be used for these costs.
Okay. Is that enough money to do that?
It's certainly enough money. All of this money that the board has given to these projects is their greatest benefit to these projects is their seed money. It shows a start for this idea, and it makes it a whole lot easier for us to go fundraise other money to capitalize the fund in the end.
So this is something, Howard, that's going to be tracked then in perpetuity by the Water Board.
Sure. I mean, it makes sense. It's what we want to do. If we're really going to achieve our objective of 80% healthy and 20% getting better, this is what we have to do. The term I'm using right now are managed watersheds. It's not real spicy. It's not real flashy. But we've moved into an era where we have to continually manage these because things are always changing. And the answer is not five. It's a real dynamic thing, and unless we get it together and start, I'll stop there because I got passion about this one. So
I guess my concern is that you're going to enter into an agreement, a contract with the Nature Conservancy to maintain this easement?
Yes.
And it's going to go on in perpetuity?
Yes.
Okay. And so that, and I guess we have other agreements like this?
Yes.
And who's responsible for kind of overseeing them?
Yes.
You?
No, that's one of the problems is we don't oversee them. We know they're there, and we have dialogue about them, but we don't track them the same way. That's, you know, just if you look at these Avila funds, we've never brought this fund to closure, all these SEP projects. So, and I think you have another SEP spreadsheet in your handouts. One of the things we're trying to do as staff is get our hands around these and move to right what you're talking about. We need to get on top of all this and figure out what's going on with what we've already done.
How many easement maintenance agreements exist today in our region with the Water Board? Any idea?
I don't think we have any that are funded. I know that all easements must be maintained.
Well, that's the thing. It's just a matter of how the contracts are written. And a good easement contract, most easement contracts are really proscriptive rather than prescriptive. They say, don't build a house, don't put in a road, don't mow it down, and, you know, that's what they do. Occasionally they're prescriptive, and they'll say, do some mowing and do some... But what they don't tend to do is to say two qualified biologists should come and do site assessments with GPS in hands three times a year, and somebody has to fix the a slide if that happens. You know what I'm saying? So this is what you're suggesting to do. But I don't think it's going to be. It doesn't sound like it. This is something that's going to be contracted in the easement. You're not going to contract for that kind of work. You're going to give some money to the TNC. TNC is going to go do its management and try to get some more money. But it's not going to work its way into the easement contract, right?
That's correct. I mean, yeah. We are obligated to monitor on an annual basis at least. And this would help pay for that. But it would also could help pay for capital costs for things that we're allowed to do on the property, like fence off serpentine, rock outcroppings, fence off Coon Creek. So it could go towards either.
Yeah. I think the chair's concern is that deed restrictions like easements say that the easement holder should monitor the terms, compliance with the terms of the easement. But the reality is that many, many land trusts around the country don't exercise their responsibilities as easement holders because they don't have the resources to do so. TNC is a different beast in that, especially TNC California, because it tends to have more resources and more experience with this sort of thing. So that's why it matters whether it's TNC or the Land Conservancy who is doing the easement monitoring.
The other piece of the puzzle for me is a feedback loop. We would like to know that the easement's being maintained and that the money that we put into the project is doing what it was intended to do. And that is something that we're going to have to figure out how to do on a region-wide level. I don't know that we'll go look at easements every year, but maybe every 5 years, maybe every 10 years, we'll get a report back from the TNC that says we've not only done what we were supposed to do, but we did all this extra. And occasionally we'll go out and walk and look and talk. And that's where I hope we're going. We spend more time doing the follow-up.
Okay. Thank you for that explanation.
Well, Howard, for example, project number four is the Ayers property acquisition. That was through the city of San Luis Obispo. We depend on the city of San Luis Obispo to maintain that easement, right?
And I drive by it all the time.
Right, but in terms of the obligation.
Yes, absolutely.
The obligation is with the city of San Luis Obispo as the easement holder. And when we've worked with the Land Conservancy of San Luis Obispo, they have an inspection schedule for each one of their acquisitions. And so that's laid out in terms of their stewardship of that property.
Right.
And they inventory the resources and identify where there are problems that need to be corrected, whether erosion problems or whatever. So,
and we get feedback on their performance.
I don't know about that feedback loop.
Yeah, we don't get feedback in a structured manner. I know that I talk to the Land Conservancy, I visit their projects, so I'm familiar with what's going on, but that's one of the things that we need to get our hands around, whether or not we want to collect it, whether it makes sense, or whether we just routinely or casually review county or city reports. I didn't mean to be flip. It's just there are budget limitations and staff limitations. So those are things we have to decide and prioritize on.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any other board discussion before we vote? Okay, all those in favor of the recommendation?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, motion carries. Thank you.